from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Excited to be here today. We have a lot of baseball scheduled in today's show. Let me give you an itinerary of what we have planned on the show today. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we're going to head to Arlington, Texas to be joined by Jared Sandler. The Royals have made a trade. Michael Lorenzen is the newest member of the team. We will learn more about him together with Jared Sandler coming up in about 15 minutes. At the top of the 3 o'clock hour, Denny Matthews, the Baseball Hall of Famer, will be on the show at 4 o'clock. We are very happy to be joined by, this is the first time that George Brett has been on this show. Now, some of you have been listening to The Drive for a long time. You remember these days. Rob, we had 2 guests sit down with us at the 2012 All-Star Game. One of them was George Brett. The other one was David Glass. Google it if you do not remember what happened the one time that David Glass came on this radio show. And boy, that was a long time ago. Very happy to have George Brett join us on the show in the 4 o'clock hour. Was an honor to get a chance to sit down and talk to him. We talked for about 30 minutes. We'll play that conversation for you in the 4 o'clock hour. I got a chance to talk to George Brett today. I am happy to be here. I was out at the ballpark on Friday. Rob, it was special. It felt like 2015 again. It was 36,000 people out there. You could sense the enthusiasm, the joy that was in the ballpark. Salvador Perez hits a big home run. The Royals win. The fireworks were great. It felt like I had found a DeLorean, a time machine, and went back to 2015. I had a great weekend out at the park. We'll talk about the Royals weekend at the park. We also will talk about Chiefs training camp. We have put the pads on. We are still practicing. The Hall of Fame game is this Thursday. Yes, the first game of the NFL season is coming up in a couple of days. We'll also cover the Olympics as well. A lot to get into between now and the end of the show. Happy to give you guys a rundown of what we have scheduled. We will talk baseball after this.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Call number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresh ingredients, all made by KC guys who both know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft beers and local wines. So Carrington, what are you in the mood for? I don't know, a whole pie or one or two will suffice. Be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, TASCIO.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City and you also want to stay up to date on the Major League Baseball trade deadline, the best place to do that right here with us on 610 Sports Radio. All right, let's start with the Kansas City Royals. We will talk football at some point, but the Royals had their biggest series this weekend, at least from an attendance standpoint, against the Chicago Cubs. They lost 2 of 3. Point number one as we begin today's show. You know what? The Royals did exactly what they said that they were going to do. The Royals told you that they were going to be players at the trade deadline, that they were going to be buyers. They also told you that they were not going to be big spenders at the deadline, that they were going to be smart. They were going to pick and choose their spots. But at the end of this thing, we were going to see them add pieces. We've seen them add two pieces over the course of the last 2 weeks. They got Hunter Harvey. They had a couple of injury scares over the weekend, and they were starting to look a little thin in that bullpen. Well, you go out, you make another trade, a trade for Michael Lorenzen. We'll learn more about him coming up in just a bit. He is a guy who was an all-star last year, a guy who has shown you that he can start if necessary, a guy who also can come out of the bullpen for you. I don't think he fixes any of their closer issues. But if he's a guy that, hey, if a starter gets beat around and you need him to pitch the fourth, fifth, and sixth, I think you trust Lorenzen to go in there. If you need somebody to pitch in the sixth or seventh inning, I think he can do that. I don't think that he is a late inning guy based on the numbers. But if you needed some kind of depth, if you needed to add a piece, if you needed to make a move to help solidify one of the shakier parts of this Kansas City Royals team, I think they have done their best to try to address it. I asked you today, Rob, a little behind the scenes, a little inside baseball. I asked Rob, were we having Vern on today to talk about the trade? Rob looked at me and said, no, I don't believe that they're done. I think they're going to make another trade. They're still linked to a couple of names. So they still might continue to be active in this thing. If you wanted the Royals to make a run for it and to try to make the postseason, I think they are showing you that they are committed to it. I don't know what more you could have asked the Royals to do in a realistic sense than what they are currently doing. We are about to begin August. They would make the playoffs. We are past the point of you thinking if the Royals are a fluke or if this is a Johnny come lately or waiting for the other shoe to drop. We have been playing baseball since March, and we are heading into August, and the Royals would be in the postseason if it started today. So we are past having that conversation about the Kansas City Royals. We are, I would say, about 25 hours away from, hey, this is the team. There is no big move coming. They are not adding another bat. They're not getting any other bullpen arm. This is the team. So they have already made two moves over the course of the last couple of weeks. We'll see if that's a third or a fourth move, and we'll see if they're going to continue to, I don't want to say push their chips in the middle of the table. I don't think that's what Michael Lorenzen is. But try to strengthen your hand a little bit to give yourself an opportunity to make this year's postseason. Point number two that I would like to make for the Kansas City Royals, and some of you may think that this take is negative, but I assure you it is not negative. It is simply me looking at the stats. This weekend was the most Royals weekend that they can potentially have. Did you know that the Royals are 9-1 against the Chicago White Sox? The Royals, with the loss yesterday to the Cubs, are exactly 500 against the rest of Major League Baseball. We know what the Royals are at this point. Think of this homestand. They swept the Chicago White Sox. They lost the other two series. Now, your margin for error, at least in that conversation, is about to end. You are done with the White Sox in 3 days. You got them today. You got them tomorrow. You got them on Wednesday. And there are no more White Sox game to get you right in the standings. So take care of business this week against the White Sox. There's no reason to believe that you won't. Based on the first 10 games that we've seen against this team, they're terrible. You're good. They're not going anywhere. You've got places to be. So do what you've done to the White Sox all season. Pound on them. And then after that, we are done with that conversation when it comes to the White Sox. And you are going to have to win series like you had two chances this week against Arizona. You had a chance against the Chicago Cubs. You squandered both of those opportunities. So this week, this homestand, it was the Kansas City Royals in 2024. They swept the White Sox. They won the first game of each of the next two series. they made a couple of mistakes, a bullpen issue here, not enough offense here, this and that. And the Royals ended up losing both of their additional series that were not against the Chicago White Sox. That has been the Royals this season. 9-1 against the White Sox. They are .500 against every other team in Major League Baseball. The last point that I would like to make before we head down to Arlington, Texas, related to our Kansas City Royals. If the Royals miss the playoffs, we know what stat we are going to be able to point to. I just told you about the homestand. They are 3-11 in rubber matches. 3-11. They should have won on Wednesday against the Diamondbacks. That's a series they should have won. Now, the Royals had a winning homestand. I don't care how you did it. You had a 9-game homestand. You won 5 of them. Salute. You did what you were supposed to do. You can never go broke taking a profit. You can never go broke having winning road trips and homestands. So, hey, win every single one of these. You got 7 games this week, all in the division. Hey, win 4 of them. Win 5 of them and come back to Kansas City for a very important series against the Red Sox. So I'm not complaining the least bit. If they miss the postseason, there will be one stat to point to. 3-11 in rubber matches. You won the first one. They won the second one. You got to figure out a way to win this series. They had 2 opportunities this week to do that, and they missed both of those windows. You didn't need to win both of these series. You just needed to find a way to win one of them. Didn't matter which one it was. They're both National League teams. You'd have been happy to win either one of the series. You didn't do that. So it's a little bittersweet, but again, you can never go broke taking a profit. You had 9 games at home. You won 5 of them. Great. You got 7 games this week before you come back home to play the Boston Red Sox and the Cardinals. 2 series that I expect great attendance for. The attendance this weekend was phenomenal. Kansas City, you showed up this weekend. They got 36,000 people on Friday, got 31,000 people on Saturday, had 26,000 people on Sunday. So a great weekend. If you were heading out to the ballpark, I had a chance to go to Friday's game. It was a lot of fun. But that is the stat that we will point to as a, that's where it was. That's that 50-50 game that you got to figure out a chance to win. They've had 14 of those chances this year. They have only won in 3 of those games. All right, Rob, before we go to Arlington, Texas, it's been a while since we've done this. You guys know the rules. If we lead off the show talking about the Royals, it can only mean one thing.
We're where you want to be. Baseball with the Royals.
Carrying today's random Royals lineup takes us back to the year 2011, where on this date in Royals history, the Royals beat Cleveland 12-0 to move to 45-61 on the season. Here was your random Royals lineup from that day in 2011.
Let's do it.
Leading off in left field, Alex Gordon.
That's a good leadoff hitter.
Batting second, the center fielder, Melky Cabrera.
The milkman.
Batting third, the designated hitter, Billy Butler. Okay,
now, this is my kind of Royals team. I have not seen this lineup. I'm assuming that it is about to fall off a cliff very, very soon.
Batting fourth, the first baseman, Eric Hosmer. Batting fifth, in right field, Jeff Francoeur.
Here's where the bottom falls out.
Batting sixth, the third baseman, Mike Moustakis.
Okay, all right, we're picking it back up. I don't know, this moose ain't that good yet.
He was batting a crispy 201.
Of course, this moose ain't good yet.
Batting
201, if you hit 201 today, you might win the batting title.
Batting seventh, behind the plate, Brian Peña.
Peña.
Batting eighth, the second baseman, fan favorite, Chris Getz.
When you say fan favorite, what do you mean by that?
Fans definitely tweeted about him a lot.
Oh, they did. He was always near the topic conversation.
That I'm is, sure he trended every night.
That's very true.
And batting ninth, the shortstop, Alcides Escobar.
You want to know when the Royals started figuring things out? When they had him bat leadoff.
By the way, the Royals won on this date in 2011 because they got 8 strong innings from Jeff Francis, giving up none over 8, striking out 6.
Jeff Francis. Didn't he play for the Rockies at one point in his career?
He did.
You didn't think I knew that. Look at that. Mm-hmm. I caught you off guard there.
He had a 6-16 record this year at the Royals and a 4.82 ERA in his 1 year in Kansas City.
Now, you caught me off guard by telling me about Jeff Francis. I did not know that. In no way.
Stunnered that 2011 pitching staff had a problem.
They had a lot of other problems, too. Sounds like they had a bevy of issues. Coming up on the other side, let's head to Arlington, Texas. We'll be joined by Jared Stabler. Jared Stabler, he covers the Rangers. He tells us everything we need to know about Michael Lorenzen, the newest member of the Kansas City Royals. They traded for him earlier today. We'll find out together. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on 610 Sports Radio, home of the hallowed title, Friend of the Show.
I'm very happy to be a friend of the show. It's always good to talk to you, man.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sports Radio.
Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by our next guest. He does TV and radio covering the Texas Rangers. He wanted to have somebody on to get us the latest. As the Royals have made a trade, they have traded for Michael Lorenzen, a guy who can either be a spot starter for the Royals down the stretch or potentially help out in the bullpen. Jared, appreciate your time. Thanks for hopping on today. What kind of player are the Royals getting?
They signed him late in camp. With the idea that he could be a swingman, a starter, reliever, depending on needs and health. And he just sort of ended up stabilizing the rotation and remaining in there. He's not a guy who strikes hitters out. And oddly this year, contrary to what he did last year, he's walked a ton of guys. That was not an issue for him last year. But of all pitchers who have 100 or more innings, he has the highest walk rate in baseball. And unfortunately, it's tough to... it's tough to work around that when you also don't miss bats. So, he was signed late in camp. He was one of those pitchers, not as high profile as Blake Snell or Jordan Montgomery, but one of those pitchers who didn't get the type of offseason attention that he thought he would have or should have. And so he signed a 1-year deal. I think, with with the Royals, you know, whether it is as a starter or most likely as a reliever, he's a guy who can get ground balls. But if you're looking for someone to come into a game with runners on base to miss bats or to get swings and misses, that's just really not his game. It hasn't really ever been. And it certainly wasn't this year for the Rangers.
Jared, he's a guy that's bounced around a little bit in these last couple of years, played for the Angels, the Tigers, the Phillies, now with Texas. Why do you think he's had so much movement in the last 24 months?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because, you know, he was a two-way player before Ohtani. He obviously didn't do it as well as Ohtani, but like when he was with the Reds, he was playing the outfield a little bit and he was pitching. And, you know, you just wonder if there was a little bit of delayed development to some degree until he really kind of fully locked in as a pitcher. But I think the other part of it is kind of what I just mentioned. We're in a place in baseball where evaluators, front office folks, coaches really value the ability to strike guys out and get swings and misses. And Michael Lorenzen just doesn't do that. And so even when he produces at a league average level, even he doesn't get valued the same way as maybe someone who produces a tick below him, but gets more strikeouts because people see more potential and more opportunity with that. So I think that has something to do with it. Now, last year he got traded by the Tigers to the Phillies because the Phillies identified him as a potential asset as they pushed towards and throughout the playoffs. So, you know, the change in team there was really something he earned by having a great first half with the Tigers, but unfortunately, he struggled with the Phillies afterwards. And again, it kind of goes back to, you know, in big moments against the toughest competition, if you're not able to miss bats, you're not able to put guys away with two strikes, teams tend to shy away from really committing long-term to you.
You mentioned how he performed so far this season and some of his ups and downs and struggles. He was in the All-Star game last year. Do you think, are you hopeful that he can get back to where he was last season when he pitched at an All-Star level?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this. I don't know if he's that guy. He is a really high-end competitor, and I know that's a word, being a competitor or whatever. I mean, these guys are professional athletes. Obviously, to some degree, they're all competitive. But I'll just give you an example. Michael Lorenzen's last outing with the Rangers was yesterday, and it followed less than 24 hours after he had a horrible start. He pitched on Saturday as a starter, went two-thirds of an inning. He didn't finish the first inning. And then the next day, yesterday, the Rangers starting pitcher, John Gray, got hurt during his warm-ups moments before he was about to throw his first pitch of the game. And so the Rangers had to go to the bullpen with their starter not even throwing a single pitch. And they were in a really tough spot. And so Michael Lorenzen went to Bruce Bochy, said, hey, I can cover. Let me get back out there. He didn't have to do that. He started the day before, even if he only pitched two-thirds of an inning. But he went back out through multiple innings and really helped the team. You know, I think he's a competitor, and obviously the Royals are playing in a high leverage situation, fighting for a playoff spot and hopefully getting back into the playoffs. And I don't think the moment will be too big for him. So in that situation, I don't think that's going to be an issue. It's just a matter of whether the stuff is good enough to get out in big moments.
How do you think he is best used going forward? Do you think he's maybe used as a spot starter, a guy that you could use for depth in the rotation? Do you think he can be a sixth-inning guy, a seventh-inning guy? If you're Matt Quatraro, manager of the Royals, how would you use Lorenzen down the stretch as the Royals push to try to grab a postseason spot?
Well, Carrington, I'll tell you this. One big development, one big step forward he took this year was his ability to get lefties out. As a right-handed pitcher, that had been a big challenge for him in the past, but he's got a really good changeup, and he is starting to throw it a lot more. That was one of the changes the Rangers wanted him to make, was to throw that pitch more, and that changeup has helped neutralize lefties. So he's not a guy you got to necessarily worry about too much, depending on, you know, if you got lefties or righties up. I don't know that I would put him in the eighth or ninth innings. Typically, you want swing and miss guys in those spots, and maybe even to some degree in the seventh inning. He is someone who can get ground balls, so maybe you bring him in as a reliever, kind of as a middle relief guy with an opportunity in ground ball situations to come in situationally. He can definitely start, though, right? He's not someone who I would expect the Royals to have starting a playoff game for them, but, you know, to get to 162 and guys get hurt or guys have to skip a start or whatever, he absolutely can fill a starting rotation role and give you a chance to win a game more often than not. What happened on Saturday was not really what the Rangers experienced most often, which is, you know, he left the game putting the team in a bind. You know, he typically gave the team a chance to win, but You know, I would say middle relief, long man, depth in the bullpen. He can kind of be a Swiss Army knife, but until he starts to get more swings and misses, he's probably not a guy that you'd want to put in the highest of leverage situations.
That is Jared Sandler joining us on the show. He does radio and TV for the Rangers. The newest member of the Royals is Michael Lorenzen. They have acquired the right-hander from the Rangers in exchange for Walter Pennington. Jared, great stuff today. Appreciate your insight. Thanks for the information.
Hey, thanks so much for having me.
Text line 913-586-7610. CDOT, this guy got chased in the first inning and now he's a Royal. We already have enough of these guys. Okay. Now, that was funny. I'll give you that. That was very funny. I'll give you that. We already knew the Royals weren't going to be big spenders. You knew that. Have you ever asked somebody, hey, how much are you looking to spend? And then they tell you their budget and you're like, you were in the wrong section. You need to go down here. You ever ask somebody, hey, man, I want to go to the Chiefs game. Oh, yeah, well, how much you willing to spend? I don't know, like 80 a ticket. You better be going to the preseason game then. You ain't going to the Ravens game if that's how much you plan on spending. We knew the Royals weren't going to be big spenders near the deadline. You know who's decided to be big spenders? The Cubs, the Yankees. The same teams that always spend big. So I'm not saying you need to be down on this move. I'm not. But I think based on what we just heard, Rob, and tell me if you hear something a little bit different, I don't know if there's a reason to be very excited about this move either. This is one of those 50-50 coin flip kind of moves. When you traded for Zobrist, that was a sure thing. He's going to be starting the next day. He's going to be on the field. Johnny Cueto, he's going to pitch for us in the postseason. That ain't what the Royals are doing right now. That's not who Hunter Harvey is. That's not who Michael Lorenzen is. That is not the kind of players that they were in the market for these times. These guys are depth pieces. That's what they are. For those of you that are not big baseball people, they traded for Brian Cook today. That's a fine move. Nothing wrong with Brian Cook. That ain't getting you excited, though. That's the move you make at the deadline. That's what they did today. So I'm not down on it. I'm happy. I'm happy that they did something. They had a weakness. They have tried to address it. They have stayed within themselves. If this team was going to make a big move, that's going to happen in the offseason. Hey, we're right there on making the postseason. We need to do something that puts us over the top. Trading for Hunter Harvey and Michael Lorenzen, those are not moves that are designed to get you over the top.
I think, for a football analogy, this deal kind of reminds me of, remember when the Chiefs at the trade deadline added Mecole Hardman? Like, no one was upset Mecole Hardman's back in the fold, but no one was like, yes, we have Mecole. Super Bowl, here we come. Now, it worked out that way, but Mecole was an insurance policy. We've made the wide receiver room better. It took a small asset to do it. We like him. We think this will make us better. Net gains. That's what Michael Lorenzen is. He's a positive. The Royals got another starter, so if they need a spot start with Lugo starting more innings this year than before, or Reagan's getting more innings, or Waka getting more innings, or March regression potentially happening, they have a spot starter. He's a guy that if they need, he can be effective in the bullpen too. There is no one who is going to move the needle in the Royals' price range, and we'll play cuts from J.J. Piccolo later, but it's going to take a bevy of prospects to make things happen, and the Royals just don't seem willing to do that this trade deadline. So I agree with you. You can't be upset by this move, but I get why you're not wowed. The Royals got better, but they got incrementally better. But incremental better is better than nothing.
Yeah, and then you hear it. I mean, on the text line, CDOT, it's hard to get amped up for a pitcher who doesn't walk or who walks a lot of guys and doesn't miss the bat. I agree with you. If there is one thing we knew from based on what we just heard from Jared Sandler, who covers the team, it's he does not strike a lot of people out. That is, he wanted us to know that about him. He does not miss the bat. He is not a swing and a miss guy. He is going to walk guys. He is going to put the ball into play. Now, let's see, you bring him to your rotation. He's under your, maybe things can turn. This is a guy who made the All-Star team last year. So I don't want to make it seem like this is some lost, complete lost cause for the Royals. It's not. But it is a buy low, low risk, potentially decent reward. That's what it is. Potentially decent reward. You are not going to hit for some big win with this guy, but you put a couple dollars into the machine and see what happens. That's what I think we just saw the Royals do, which, again, I am not mad at. I am happy that the Royals went out there and did something. They could have very easily sat on their hands. but you picked up something. You didn't add a whole lot of payroll. And let's see what happens. I want to read to you guys a tweet that came up on my timeline earlier today. I just want to read it to you. This is from Lyle Graverson. Shout out to Lyle Graverson. He does fantastic work at Arrowhead Attic. I was not at training camp today, so I can only go off what somebody else saw at training camp. And I saw the video too. Lyle tweeted, Sky Moore just threw an interception on a kick return. That is not a typo. I was like, all right, what did he do? Let me read this. He tried a backward pass to the other return man, and a defender got there in time to jump in front of it. I'm not even mad at Sky Moore. I'm not. Have you guys noticed that every time Sky's name has popped up so far in camp, it's been attached to something bad happening? Remember the last time I gave you an update on Sky Moore? When he bobbled the ball, when he played hot potato with the ball, and it was intercepted on a 7-on-7 drill? Now, you got him doing laterals, doing special teams drills? Dave, come on, Dave. Dave, have you seen him play wide receiver? Now, you think there's some other skills that you guys haven't unlocked with Sky Moore? You know what I want you to do? Remember that scene on Varsity Blues? I want you to stick to the basics. Stick to the basics. You know who you can try a lateral with? Travis Kelce. If you really want to get crazy, maybe a Hollywood Brown. I don't want Sky Moore doing no laterals. No, I don't want him. He should never. He has a tough time holding on to the ball when he's supposed to. Now you want him to give up possession? No. I'm not even mad at you for this happening today in practice. This isn't your fault. Your coaching staff put you in the wrong situation. This didn't sound like it was an impromptu. This sounds to me like it was part of the design. Whose idea was it during a kickoff to have for you to run the Music City Miracle with Sky Moore? No, I'm not mad. I'm not surprised it got intercepted. None of us are surprised that happened. So, Dave, I don't know if you're listening to this, if you're driving back from St. Joe. I know you guys don't have practice tomorrow. Maybe you're coming home. I want you to hear this message. I want you to hear me and hear me good. Do not ever do that again. Get all of that stuff out now in July. You guys were doing quadruple passes today. You got Sky Moore doing end around. Today was we bored. We got a long camp. We got to do something to keep the imagination of these guys, the creativity of these guys. Let's give them a fun day. All right. But at no point during the regular season, at no point during preseason, do I want to see Sky Moore attempting a lateral. I would tell him, son, if you attempt a lateral, we are sending you to the St. Louis Battlehawks. No more NFL for you. You're banned from the league if you try this during a game. Rob, he thinks he's Reggie Bush during the Rose Bowl. No, we don't need that. Please don't do this.
I mean, listen, I agree with you, but I don't know you can Mr. I love the cool creativity. Let's try fun stuff. It's just camp. Mr. Kadarius Toney at running back is worth a shot. Let's learn if he can do it. It's the time to practice. It's football practice.
That's something you might do in a game.
You don't think Sky Moore might huck it backwards in a game?
I don't think that Sky Moore is going to be on the team in a month. I don't know if he's going to be on the team. You know, if he is on the team, he feels like a healthy scratch, a DMP and inactive is what it sounds like to me for Sky Moore. You want him back there doing kick and punts?
They got to have someone do it. You know,
what this team has a lot of? This team has a lot of 6'1", 190 fast guys on their team. Find a better one. Find a more reliable one than him. Please, anybody. You know the other thing that has popped up to me at camp? And this isn't negative. This is just an observation. That Louise Rees-Zammit guy, there ain't no reason to be excited yet. I'm not saying there won't be reason at some point. I'm saying that, Rob, we've seen, 5 days of him playing football? It don't look good. It don't look good at all. Like, not in the least bit. So, you knew this was going to be a project.
You bring him in from rugby. You signed him to a 3-year deal. No other team can touch him. He's going to be your international protected player. He goes through a year of the scout team, a year through the practice squad. I'm happy. I'm always going to be for you taking those kind of moves. The rules allow you to take those kind of moves. But if you are excited about his potential and how he could help this team, I'm telling you right now, I have not seen one thing he can do on the field. Not at this level. I have not seen one reason to think that he can help the Chiefs this year. So if you had some kind of visions of him being their third running back or being a kick return, punt return, a little do everything, no, not at all. That is not in the cards for him this year. It could be in the cards for him next year. Learn the game a little bit, stay in the playbook a little bit more, acclimate yourself. Next season, he could very well help this team. There's nothing he can do to help this team based on the first 2 weeks of them having practice. I have not seen one good rep for him so far.
It's becoming pretty apparent. Now, things can change. You're right, he's a 3-year contract. But you know who he is? He's Weston Dressler. He was a fun story. Oh, can you believe? Look at the athleticism. I mean, Carrington, you were here the same way I was here. Do you know what Twitter looked like the day he signed? I've never seen so many rugby highlights in my life. I didn't know people could find rugby highlights so fast. They had him timed. Look, he's running at this mile an hour on the field. No one's doing that in the NFL. And look at the athleticism. It was the same as Weston Dressler, who was like, hey, man, he's shredding the CFL. Let's see if he can do it in Kansas City. So far, he hasn't. Lewis Rees-Zammit is not going to take the league by storm this year. But you know what? I'm usually anti-take-a-risk guy. This is a smart risk because the league encourages it. The league encourages you to take a shot at international players, and if it works, it works. And if it doesn't, they have an extra spot for you to stash him and teach him. So there was no risk financially or on the roster. He's behind the curve, not surprisingly. He's never played professional football or any football. Let's just see what happens over the length of his career, but it does look very Weston Dressler-ish and not, you know, found money, which what a lot of people thought he'd be.
Coming up on the other side, I want to play a very simple game. I want to play a game of something or nothing. Today, we were getting ready for the show, and I didn't see Rob for a couple of minutes. Rob came up to me and said, hey, I know you saw what Mike Evans said. No, I'm not keeping up with Tampa Bay training camp. He's like, you want to hear what Mike Evans had to say about the Kansas City Chiefs. And I'm like, all right, great. Let's play it. So we will play it for you. We will play a very simple game. Is this something or nothing? Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this. Your official broadcast partner of the Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio.
We'll get to Mike Evans coming up in a bit. Denny Matthews is going to join us at 3 o'clock. The Hall of Famer George Brett is going to be on the show at 4 o'clock. You will absolutely want to hear what George Brett has to say. Rob, before we talk about very serious football things, let me ask you a question. I just want to know, because you and I, we grew up in the same place, but a different place. When I ask you what channel was ESPN, what's your answer?
Because
I know what my answer is. ESPN for me was channel 33.
I was going to say, it started, my first television, my first memory was 21. And then it became 33. So I think we either switched providers or the stations changed. Because our first box, like the one where you could like, oh, you could have a guide and the whole deal. Not a DVR, but you had like a box. Was 33, but my first TV, like run a wire out of the wall, was channel 21.
What channel was Nickelodeon?
49.
Okay, that same thing for me. Nickelodeon was channel 49. What about MTV?
24?
Okay, all right, making sure. Maybe it wasn't that different, because I just know, you know, on my side of state line, maybe you just had a completely different cable provider. ESPN was 33, ESPN2 was 34, Nickelodeon was 49, Cartoon Network was 58, MTV was 24, BET was 25 back there during those days. I think VH1 was like 36.
ESPN Classic was 35.
Yeah, no, I was never a big ESPN Classic. Part of sports, the joy of watching sports is I don't know who wins the game. Going back to watch a game that I know who won, there's never really been much of an appeal to me to go back and watch a sporting event. I don't mind watching highlights and the exciting part, or if you kind of repurpose the content and do like a documentary style or America's Team or one of those kind of things, but just go back from start to finish and watch a game that I know what happens, and I'm okay.
I liked, what was the show, Cheap Seats, where they watched old games and made jokes. That was an ESPN Classic staple. Other than that, I just know the ESPN Classic was 35. And then, I mean, a little later in my life, I remember when ESPN News hit. Oh, what a time. They're just going to show highlights all day.
All day, yeah. Do you remember CNN SI? Do you remember that channel? So they would do a little bit of ESPN News, but then you would also get a little bit of different content. Yeah. Then I remember when ESPNU came around, you're like, wait, hold on. There's going to be a channel that just gives us more college basketball and college football. Then remember they used to have those like weird little U graphics that would be kind of based on the mascot of your individual school. You know, cable wasn't that bad back in the day, man. We got to get back to the essence of it. All right, let me play this audio for you guys. This is Mike Evans. Mike Evans was on NFL Network. So Mike Evans was going to be a free agent. He ended up staying with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He says that he almost signed with the Chiefs. Here's what he said.
I mean, I've been here my whole career, and that was a goal of mine, obviously. I mean, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking Houston, Kansas City. I love Pat Mahomes' game. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking those two teams, obviously, and I'm obviously thinking Bucks. So yeah. It would have been extremely hard if I hit free agency to leave here.
Right.
But this is where my family knows. My kids were born here.
Yeah.
You know, my wife's been here a long time. She doesn't want to pack up and move everything.
Right.
So it was really her decision is the reason why I decided to stay. And she loves this place, and I obviously love this place. But when she gave me the go-ahead, like, we should stay here.
Mike, I know exactly what happened. This happened to me in my career. I know what happened. Rob, let me tell you what happened. The bag finally came through. He doesn't want to say it like that, but that's what happened. You don't want to leave. You want to stay, but your current employer, they ain't willing to pay what it costs to keep you. So, yeah, I entertained a little bit. Yeah, I listened to the Chiefs. I listened to the Texans. I had to make Tampa Bay really believe that I was going to leave. I had to really make them buy into the fact that I was going to be in another jersey. And do they want that? Then all of a sudden, like, wait. No. Don't go play with Patrick Mahomes. Come right back. We'll figure this out. Let's work together. And then eventually they paid you what you thought you were worth. And then you ended all that conversation about going to play for these other teams. I don't think for a second that Mike Evans was ever going to play for the Chiefs or play for the Texans. He was always going back to Tampa Bay. Always. You want to know how I know? Baker Mayfield's their starting quarterback. You don't have Baker Mayfield as your starting quarterback to then get rid of your number one pass-catching option. No, when they decided to keep Baker Mayfield, that told me they planned on keeping Mike Evans too. So, no, I never for a second believed that Mike Evans was coming to Kansas City. It's not because I don't think Kansas City was interested. I'm sure they were interested. You got to do your due diligence, kick the tires. You got to put in a phone call. Hey, what would it cost? Hey, we're interested in having you. Hey, if things don't work out there, I mean, that's doing your job. That's good business. But at the end of the day, it was only one team that he was going to play for. He was only going to play for Tampa Bay. He signed that deal before free agency even started. If he was really serious about leaving, he would have actually tested the market. He didn't test the market. So, no, this was a play to get more money out of the team you really wanted to continue to play for, and it makes sense why you want to continue to play. It was the team that drafted you. You know, you had your kids there, your family there. You won a Super Bowl there. You're going to be in the Hall of Fame for them one day, maybe in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. To say you did it in one jersey, no, that means something. It had a value to stay in Tampa, but I don't believe you were coming to play for the Chiefs, not at all.
So you don't think there's any credence to the idea that, hey, maybe the Chiefs' plan A was Mike Evans. And plan A fell off the board before it even hit the board. But the Chiefs were doing their due diligence and finding out, hey, Mike Evans might be exactly what we need. You don't think the Chiefs' plan of going relatively cheap on wideout was finally going to break this year and they were going to spend Mike Evans' money? You don't think that they were in the market for one of those big-time wideouts and it just didn't shake out right? You think it's just Mike Evans is post-mortem, mind you, post-signing a contract, explaining leverage, that seems like a random thing to say to NFL Network for no rhyme or reason today.
I mean, Mike Evans signed a two-year, $52 million contract and a $35 million guarantee. Do you think there was any chance that the Chiefs were getting close to that deal being signed that makes Mike Evans one of the, what, eight highest paid wide receivers in the National Football League? No, I don't think they were ever serious about that market. Especially when I see how the market played itself out and they ended up signing a one-year contract with Hollywood Brown. That's a big gap to go from 252 and 35 guaranteed to sign a wide receiver for less than $10 million for this upcoming season. I think the Chiefs played the wide receiver market perfectly. I don't think they ever needed Mike Evans. It would be great to have Mike Evans, big down the field threat, a receiver that they don't have. He never fits what they like in free agency. Rob, you're here just like I'm here. You know what the Chiefs like in free agency? They're like 27-year-olds, 28-year-olds, especially on those cheap, cost-effective one-year team deals. That's exactly what they got with Hollywood Brown. They just restarted the same process with Juju Smith-Schuster. And at that position, you and I both know this, there's going to be another Hollywood Brown next season that appears. There's always a player like that in free agency. A guy who showed promise early in his career. He's gotten injured. He's gotten off the course a little bit. Let me go play with a good team. Let me put together a good season and then re-enter free agency. That's basically what Mecole Hardman tried to be. It just didn't end up working out with the Jets. So, do I think the Chiefs called about Mike Evans? Yes, I do believe that they called. I believe that they had a number in mind for Mike Evans. I don't think it was anywhere close to what his actual market is in the National Football League. Think about it. He went from a two-year $41 million deal to a two-year $52 million. He got a raise this past year. I don't think the Chiefs were ever that serious about spending that level of money in free agency. Not at that position. Not after they had just done that with Chris Jones.
I mean, they don't historically spend that money at that position. But one thing about the Mike Evans contract that is very Chiefs-ish is when they do sign a player that's over 25, 26, 27 out of what they deem their prime, you know what they do to him? They slap him with a small deal, 1-2 years. $52 million is probably too rich for the Chiefs' blood, but 2 years? You don't think Brett Veach and the cap experts over at One Arrowhead Drive could have finessed and made a two-year deal, really a fake one-year deal, and kind of massage and maneuver some money? I mean, it would have been expensive. It would have been tough. It probably would have meant no Drew Tranquil or another player they brought back in that same ilk, but I think the Chiefs had more serious conversations than we think, and Mike Evans tipped his hand there. Yeah, the Chiefs were one I was definitely considering. They were definitely on my radar, but the Bucs never let him officially hit a radar. But I think it's more serious than just the Chiefs are never in that market, because 2 years is very much the Chiefs' market.
Coming up in just a little bit, we're going to be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. George Brett will be on the show coming up at 4 o'clock. We are going to spend exactly 1 minute today talking about this. And the only reason why I'm going to play this is I told you guys this. You remember back in May, Rob was trying to be like, I don't know. And I was like, stop it. Remember when the Chiefs entertained the possibility of Justin Reed doing the kickoffs? You guys were like, oh, it's a good idea with the new rules. And I'm like, stop it. You know they're not doing this. This is June nonsense is what they're talking right now. They're not doing this when it matters. Oh, guess what? They made an announcement today.
Bucker's going to be our main kickoff guy. I mean, hands down, he'll be our, because he can move the ball and do a lot of different things. He's a lot, you know, he's our most talented kickoff guy. Other guys that can kick off, Justin, and then Lewis, he'll be able to kick off, be able to cover. So you just want them to just get the ball into the target zone, where you're trying to pin them down there just with a good kick, and you got actually 11 guys cover instead of 10.
Rob, we don't got, again, 1 minute. I told you. I told you this. I knew it. I told you. Other guys that can kick, sure. Could Justin Reed kick it one time this year? Sure. I'm not surprised that they are letting their kicker do the kicking for the team. Oh, I know. It blows my mind, too. It's also a surprise to me as well. Coming up at the top of the hour, we'll be joined by Denny Matthews, the Hall of Fame voice of the Kansas City Royals. We'll recap the weekend and also look ahead as the Royals have 7 games in their division over the next 7 days. Keep it right here. So drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.